It all begins. A clang of rifles fired into the air and desperate cries from people. Cries that slice with the force of a knife through my broken heart. Some scream for mercy, some curse with bravery, but all are powerless. Soldiers bark, "Schnell!" to keep everyone from crowding. A child calls while sobbing,
"Mamusha! Where are you, Mamusha?"
My first instinct tells me to run out to aid this innocent child, but fear glues me to my spot. Why is this cruelty happening? This is so unfair. As the trucks drive away and the commotion dies down, I struggle to move, paralyzed by the thought of what would happen to the captured people. I press my palm to my chest and try to suppress sorrow. This is the first roundup I've been caught up in. But lately, they have been more frequent and done in retaliation for the resistance activities. The thought of the Germans punishing random people turns my stomach. They drive through Warsaw and takes anyone who happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Hitler wants to terrorize us into submitting. But I know very well that will never happen. We won't stop until this damned war ends and we get our freedom back. We stay in the hideout until the street is peaceful. The boy's blue eyes squint at me from his gaunt, dirty face. He's wearing a muddy overcoat that dwarfs him. Someone does care for him, though, because his coat is full of patches. He looks to be no more than 5 or 6. An uncomfortable lump builds in my throat.
"What is your name?"
I ask in a quiet voice.
"Kubush,"
he whispers with his chapped lips while his gaze is fixed on the ground. I smile to encourage him.
"Do you live somewhere around here?"
I whisper back. He looks at me with horror.
"Grandma didn't wake up."
His hand trembles as he wipes the tears that are welling in his eyes.
"Where are your parents?"
I must bring him home to his worried family. He stares at me.
"Only grandma."
"Let me take you back to your grandma, Kubush. I'm sure she is waiting. Can you show me where you live?"
He shakes his head and adds,
"She went to heaven."
It pains me to hear it, but I'm not sure if he's telling the truth. I long to cheer him up a little bit, so I say,
"Thank you for being so brave and for helping me."
Despite tears, a shy smile quivers at his mouth.
"I saw you behind all the other people, and you looked so scared," he says. "And the bad soldiers were still far enough away for you to hide."
There is no way this little boy can survive much longer without help. He's so young. I can't just walk away.
"Listen to me, Kubush."
I kneel and touch his only arm.
"I need you to trust me. I have to take you back to your home. And if there's no one there, we will grab your belongings and go to a place with good food and clean clothes."
I hug him.
"I promise."
With slow, cautious movements, we head north. I take comfort in the fact that Świętojańska Street is empty. It's good to inhale clean air again. Out of habit and fear, I stop next to a wooden kiosk covered with announcements and smile at Kubush with assurance.
"I have to take a quick look at something, and then we can go."
He nods and tightens his hold on my hand. I desperately look for red German posters with names of Poles held in the Pawiak prison and sentenced for execution in the ghetto ruins or other unknown places. After finding a new notice with a long list of names of people to be executed in 2 days, I close my eyes and gather all my strength to read through it. I wipe sweat from my forehead and scan the list, hoping my brother's name is not on it. When I'm done, I exhale with relief. One more announcement confirms a chance Mateusz is still alive, although I suspect they haven't been posting all their victims' names. They would not have enough paper to do so.